Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, great to be here. Really pleased to be here. Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. It's been a real pleasure to get to sort of learn a bit more about credentials over the last couple of weeks and also to have an initial call. So really appreciate your interest in the show. Love it if you could do just a quick intro so our listeners could learn a bit more about you and obviously your background.
Brilliant. Yes. So I'm Ellen Armstead. I'm one of three co-founders of a business called Credentials. So in terms of my kind of introduction to maritime and shipping, I spent a childhood in or on the sea. I was a fairly keen dinghy sailor, but a pretty reluctant family sailor on holidays. But that kind of changed when I got the chance to work on super yachts in my early 20s. Did that for a couple of years, then came back to Guernsey to take up my legal qualifications and career again. So that's a very early background, but my legal career, I was fairly eclectic. Did a bit of client work, worked in AML compliance, and then as a general counsel and data protection officer.
Excellent. I mean, and before you did a little bit of work on the yachts, I see you're in hospitality, in ski resorts and chalets, that type of thing. So you obviously enjoyed that sort of kind of hospitality and entertainment kind of work/play, I'd say, after your studies and things.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. So when I finished uni in early 2000s, it was very much, do I go and get sort of a proper job in sort of London doing all these legal stuff? Didn't really suit me at all. So I wanted to do something entirely different. So I finished uni, came back to Guernsey, worked in a surf shop for a summer. And then, as you say, went off to Val d'Isère to do a season, working as a waitress, and absolutely loved it because just the diversity of people you meet. It's a pretty active, fit job as well. So sort of running from downstairs all the time. And that's when my now husband and I got together and decided to move down to Genoa to start working on the super yachts.
Yeah. And so I understand just from reading your profile that you actually kind of, did you have your own vessel or were you kind of chartering a vessel that you were running?
As the first job, I was the deck stew on a 47 meter boat. And this was sort of early 2000s when a 47 meter vessel was actually fairly large. Also the days of where you had to go to an internet cafe to email anybody at home. Text messages didn't really work between Italy and England. It was all great fun. So we did a season and a bit on there. That was a privately held vessel. And then the second vessel we'd ran, it was just Dan and I. So he was sort of captain and I was just general sort of dog's body doing everything else. That was a fairly small, sort of 20 metre, but we did a significant amount of chartering in that couple of summers that we did, about 4,500 nautical miles up and down Croatia. So that's pretty fun.
Brilliant.
Hard work, but fun.
Okay, but after university, I did a bit of travelling as well, but it wasn't quite as glamorous as being on yachts and things. But I did kind of go around sort of mainly surfing, actually. You mentioned surf shops, different countries and things. And I spent for about 3 or 4 months, we were unloading shipping containers in Sydney Harbour, which was actually a really good experience, to be honest with you. I've kind of learned a couple of life lessons and things about it, but it was quite a cool little intro to shipping, or a route into actual the hands-on side of shipping. So it was good.
Yeah, and you know, being able to work abroad and travel at the same time, I never really wanted to just sort of pack a backpack and disappear. I actually wanted to sort of live in a place, and I know it's sort of living in a ski resort and on a vessel doesn't really mean you're sort of ingratiated in the local community, but at least you're still working and kind of getting used to the cultures and the languages. It was just a brilliant way of doing it.
No, brilliant. Okay, well, today we're going to mainly talk about kind of streamlining kind of crew data and how credentials kind of helps with that sort of process. You mentioned obviously you're a co-founder, so we're going to talk about as well the sort of the, I guess, the nuances of being a co-founder, having different kind of leaders essentially, all kind of going after running one ship essentially. So it'd be great to kind of get your take on kind of the role of a co-founder, how perhaps you kind of divvy up duties and that type of thing. So I'm looking forward to this. So maybe to get started, why don't you give us an overview of kind of the main sort of projects that you're currently working on?
Yes, it's pretty good timing actually, because we've had our heads down for the last sort of 9 or 12 months rebuilding our software. We launched it about a month or so ago. So kind of, as I say, we've had our heads down kind of building, iterating, testing. So now that we've sort of put up our heads above the parapet, we're now busy onboarding customers, supporting our existing ones, and really developing on the really solid base that we've got, the technology that we've just relaunched. So new features coming all the time. We've got a roadmap, which is really quite exciting. So a lot of time is spent sort of scoping those, getting feedback from prospects and customers to really know that we're delivering the right thing in the right order for our sort of current and future customers. And so really, what I really enjoy about that part is that it's a massive but joint effort between the three co-founders. We all get involved at all of those stages. And I think that's the beauty really of being a founder-led business with just the three of us. We all bring different things to the table. So the three co-founders, there's me. I do all sort of the legal data protection, operational sort of stuff. My second co-founder is actually my husband, Dan. He does all the maritimes and product management. And then our third co-founder is basically a software development genius who just sort of brings all of these things together, but also brings his own ideas to the table.
Great. Okay. And perhaps if you can give an overview of credentials, kind of who your sort of typical customers are and the type of solution that you offer.
Yeah, brilliant. So Credentials is basically a software platform which helps both seafarers and maritime businesses manage seafarer credentials. So really, in terms of our target customers, it's pretty much wide as you can get in the industry. And we basically say that it's any maritime business that handles seafarer credentials. So that can be ranging from recruiters, job sites, crew managers, training providers, flag states who are collecting in data to issue certificates. And that's also in pretty much any sector. So I think, you know, a lot of people will have sort of a fairly defined view of what the maritime industry looks like. And that may be dictated by their personal holidays on cruise ships or ferries or whatever. But when we're sort of looking at the entire breadth of the industry, where you've got sort of the merchant, you've got crew transfer, you've got offshore, you've got yachting, you've also got the leisure market, which is also sort of pretty massive.
Yeah. And are you mainly focusing kind of ship owners and seafarers in the Med, or is it very much kind of global, the Philippines, or the US, all over the place, I imagine?
Yeah, that's also a very good question, because it's obviously the jurisdiction, you're not dictated by where you are or where the seafarer or the service provider is. Particularly with the nature of what we do, with it being credentials, it's all based on international regulatory standards. So our solutions can be used by pretty much any seafarer wherever they're based, and then therefore any business wherever they're based. So being kind of a fairly small founder-led business, we've had to prioritise where we look and where we focus our efforts. Because, you know, this is the common saying, isn't it, that if you're trying to target too many people, your messaging just gets messy and you're actually targeting nobody. So at the moment, we're focusing our efforts on sort of UK-based, Med-based, partly because that's the area that we know, partly because it's just it's easier to get to. But obviously, you've got sort of massive great ship owning businesses absolutely globally. We've had to trip out to Singapore, one also out to Hong Kong, because obviously there's a pretty major maritime hubs. But for the moment, we're just looking a little bit closer to home.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the type of credentials that the platform can host and share, what sort of things are they kind of generally checking? And I appreciate, obviously, a lot of people will know this specifically, but for some of our audience may not know the ins and outs of this side of shipping.
Absolutely. So because of the nature of the industry, and because seafarers are very, very far from home, so they are all very, very highly trained, not just for the role that they undertake on the vessel, whether that's navigational or engineering or stewardessing. But they're also highly trained for kind of personal safety, because they're the first responders in a case of an emergency. So each seafarer being highly qualified when they are applying for jobs, so with the recruiters, when they're taking on jobs, they've got to prove that they are qualified. A lot of the qualifications expire. And as you can imagine, it's basically a paper and PDF nightmare. There's, you know, most crew have probably got their information in sort of Gmail or a Google Drive or anything, but they are repeatedly sharing those with the service providers that that I've mentioned. So what we basically realised is that there was a better way of basically doing credential management. So these are all regulatory certificates relating to a role on board a vessel. And we realised that if we can get qualifications right, we can then drive a lot of efficiencies and compliance benefits that kind of flow from that. Not to also sort of mention that they've got the better user experience for both the crew and sort of admin teams within these service providers.
And can you kind of provide notification and kind of alerts? For example, if one of my kind of certifications was going to run out at X time, you'd be able to give us a kind of a warning in advance. Does it work like that, or is that a little bit too in depth. Okay.
No, that's exactly what we do. So obviously the quality of data is absolutely vital when it comes to actually kind of providing meaningful insights on this. So where it all kind of started was we were slightly, inspired by the EasyJet app when you register for a sort of login for a flight, sort of a, yeah. trying to get your boarding cards and things. You've got to provide your advanced passenger information. So basically you can scan your passport and then it'll extract all the information and then automatically populate it. So we figured that there must be a way to scan any maritime certificate and extract all the data, profile it. When we realized there wasn't, we thought, you know, this was our proof of concept. This is what we wanted to build. So we built that and then sort of built the rest of the platform around it. And because we've got really reliable data, we can then notify people that something is expiring, notify them that maybe something that doesn't actually have an expiry date on it does actually expire in accordance with international regulations, which has been really kind of a great benefit. So we notify not only the crew member, but also anybody that kind of has access to that certificate, whether that's, again, a sort of recruiter or training provider. And as I say, once you get all that information right, you can drive so many more efficiencies. So if you're looking for somebody with all of their certificates, all in date, to take on a particular role on board, you can very easily kind of shortlist
a little bit like in recruitment, when we take up references for candidates and things, and there's a whole range of online platforms you could use. I think Verify and a few other ones we've used in the past. Do you do that sort of things as well? Like just double checking where they voyages they've worked on, that type of thing, or is that a little bit too far?
So we decided to start with certificates because they are very much objective. They are either they are what they are or they're not. They were either issued that date or they weren't, and they're either in date or verified or not. So things like references, they're a little bit more subjective, a bit trickier to sort of keep hold of, and kind of who you share them with, does the seafarer get access to them and everything. So what we decided, we would start with qualifications, and then if it so happened that we wanted to kind of go into more the references and sort of see training time and sort of the training record books, then we would do. But it was very much, that would be a secondary thing that we would ever do. Because as you say, there's lots of platforms already out there doing reference checking. And also one of the things that we found with some of our recruiter clients is that they don't want us to go out and contact references, for example, because they can use that as a sort of a business development tool for them to be able to go and speak to them. What we do offer, and this is what we believe is to be an industry first, is anybody that sort of handles these seafarer credentials are actually meant to verify that they are in, basically haven't been revoked, are still in date, and are, you know, were issued by who they said they were issued by. So what we've done is, because we, again, say that we've got this reliable digital data, we know who the qualification was issued by, what it is, and its issue dates. We can then also give our customers who use the platform tools to be able to go out and verify the certificates at source. So instead of, you know, opening up your email, typing out the email address out to somebody and waiting for a response and then logging it somewhere else, we can actually provide the tools for people to do that. And we're pretty sure that's an industry first. And this is really where a lot of our, what we think is exciting development is going to kind of come over the next years, is it's a first step in creating this kind of ability to have all of your information all in one place, verified and easily accessible and easily shareable to anybody that needs it. So instead of, you know, three people repeatedly verifying the same document, you as a seafarer actually get to present yourself both in a professional way, but also saying, well, these are all my certificates and these were last verified on such and such date by a credentials user. So you kind of get to that much more sort of trusted information.
We speak to a company called Idwell that is slightly different, that they work on more on the vessel inspection, kind of grading and certification, that type of thing. And it's almost I think they helped grade around 50% of all vessel sales last year, like commercial shipping sales. And there's now become like the Idwell grading as like an industry kind of standard. So it'd be great if you could get to like the credentials sort of grading and people know, okay, if they've got the verification and the standard there, they know you've been thoroughly checked and things. So that'd be pretty cool.
Well, that's the joy of the word credentials, is it can actually be used. Okay. You've been credentialed. We are credentialing something.
Excellent. Brilliant. Yeah. So, I mean, you actually kind of answered a lot of what I was going to mention in my next question. It is more about the benefit to the mariner themselves that the solution provides. And it just sounds like having that kind of one place to hold their kind of core documents and everything's kind of verified. Is that the main kind of sort of impact and benefit you feel that it offers?
That's a really good question, because we've spent quite a lot of time talking about the sort of the impact on seafarers, and obviously that is a sort of a massive part of what we do and why we do it, particularly as what we provide to crew is free and it always will be. So we never think that a crew member has to pay for a digital wallet to be able to hold their certificates. We also have what sort of we call our business workspace, which is kind of the other side of the coin, if you like, in terms of our platform, which is basically tools for any maritime business who needs to onboard crew, manage their qualifications and things. So we're seeing massive time saving, efficiency benefits, compliance improvements for our business workspace users, because when the documentation comes into them, it's all consistently profiled, neatly named. So it just means that if something is what it says it is, it's also called that. So the amount of times we would see when we're helping our kind of customers move their data over to us, you would see the same type of document being called about three or four different things. So for the purposes of reporting, it was pretty impossible. But if we kind of come back onto the seafarers, I come to think of this as at least with three or four angles of what we do for them and kind of the benefits we bring to them. And so from their maritime and career perspective, we're putting them in control of their information, so they automatically know what they've got, what's expiring, as you say, that we'll notify them. But we also can tell them what they're working towards. So you're currently qualified as a Master 3000. To get to a Master Unlimited, you're missing X and Y. We can tell them that because we know what they've got, what we need. So all this compliance rules that we've built in. We've also know some crew that they work for businesses that those businesses treat the expired certificates as a reason for instant dismissal. And so we know of at least two or three seafarers that have obviously been notified of something expiring and been able to keep their job, which is absolutely fantastic. And really where kind of my passion lies is, sounds sad, but it's fairly true, is it's from a data protection perspective. So you see an incredible amount of data and personal information being shared in various forms, particularly on social media. And it is all quite worrying. So people's CVs with an incredible amount of information being shared. And so with our solution, because we're putting seafarers in control of their data, we enable them to do many things. So one, share evidence of something, but without sharing the actual document. So I have a Masters 3000. I'm not showing you the document yet, but I've got it. It's in my wallet. And we also enable them to know what they've shared and with who. So I quite often think back to it's how many websites and service providers people have created accounts with. And I remember in 2018 when GDPR came in, I got at least two or three emails from yachting recruiters that I hadn't been in contact with for probably about 13 years saying, oh, still want to be on our database, still want to be considered for jobs. You just think this is kind of the quality that we're dealing with. So we can, because we can show them, because we provide the tools for them to easily share things, we can also provide them with logs of what they've shared.
Either approaching or being approached by the mariners, is it kind of when they're studying, when they're about to study, or when they've graduated, or when they're looking for a job, or all of the above?
It kind of hit the nail on the head. It's pretty much all of the above. So sort of our strategy for kind of getting the wallets in the hands of people, we do admit that we probably get more excited about digital certification and kind of compliance than sort of the average kind of seafarer. So whilst we do have a number of seafarers who are actively signing up for their own account and putting their documents in and reaping the benefits I've already kind of explained, we also are working with, say, recruiters or training providers to actually, so with the recruiters as an example, when they're onboarding a crew member and getting all their qualifications from them, they'll ask them to fill in a workflow, which sort of says you need to provide X, Y, and Z. At the end of that workflow, we basically prompt the seafarer and say, look, you've done the hard work once. If you press this button, you'll create your own profile and you'll be able to keep these documents in this crew wallet for free for life. So that's kind of how we're getting them in the hands of it. And likewise with the training providers, when they're issuing certificates, all they need to do is provide an electronic version of the certificate through credentials. and the seafarer can then adopt their account and have that certificate there, nice, like, neatly presented and everything. So it's kind of a bit of a sort of an entire circle. Is training providers quite often get contacted by recruiters asking, you know, I'm looking for somebody junior deckhand, for example. Have you got anybody coming through the ranks? So if that training provider can give their crew members or their trainees a credentials profile, and they then go and register with a recruiter who's using credentials, it's just this seamless data flow.
And was it a really conscious great effort impression to kind of deliberately offer like a freemium sort of service for the seafarer, or did you kind of flirt the idea of having a subscription sort of model?
Do you know, it's never actually been something we've thought that it would be a good idea to charge seafarers to kind of look after their own data, because actually they deserve some help in kind of progressing their career and improving sort of the professional standards. You know, it's not to say that we won't offer something premium in the future, but at the moment there's nothing that we would think that would be fair to kind of charge a seafarer for. And particularly, if the people that need access to the data, they're the ones that are actually making the money out of, say, the placement or the training.
That's great.
So really, that's kind of the right model.
Appreciate you explaining a bit more taking the time to come on the show. Okay, is there anything else about credentials that we haven't kind of touched on, or kind of customers, or that you'd like to share, or are you okay to move on to the second part of our chat? Yeah, great.
No, I think that's the
okay. Yeah, so, what was the sort of the genesis of the idea to create the business? I don't think we touched that on that, but what was it kind of spurred on the creation?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Dan and I have always been kind of chewing over ideas for startups, and kind of we're both employed in sort of really decent jobs, but we wanted to do something for ourselves, really. And actually, it was, I distinctly recall the time that we realised it was the right thing to do was Dan was in the middle of onboarding a full crew complement for a new vessel being launched. And he was pretty much working through the night. He was absolutely knee deep in paper and PDF, profiling certificates manually, putting them into lots of different systems and things. And so that's where the idea came from. And that's really where the whole scanning of a certificate and being able to extract the data came from. We were then lucky enough to be introduced to James, who's our third co-founder. And at the time, he was a 24-year-old surfer dude living, I think it was in Indonesia or south of France, I can't quite remember, on a boat. And he was introduced by a sort of a mutual friend who said, you know, I know this chap who's a pretty whizzy at software development. There was probably countless people had told us that it wasn't possible. Because at the time AI was very early in its infancy, and a lot of the people who were sort of suggesting AI was the way to do this were saying that you needed, you know, many multiple copies of the same certificate to be able to get it to train to do it. And we're like, that's not going to be possible. So we thought of it kind of around the houses a little bit and came up with a better idea of actually being able to build this piece of technology. We gave James a budget and he built it within a couple of weeks. And then as most small businesses, we were sort of very short on the funding. So we basically offered James to come in as a co-founder.
Exciting.
And four years later, here we are.
How was that initial period of kind of almost divvying up, like which areas each of you were to focus on? How did that happen?
That's a really good question, actually, because we've each got very defined areas of expertise. So James is software development, and I won't even profess to even go near it. Dan likes a little bit of sort of the structured way that coding and software works, but doesn't have the background in software development, but does have the maritime background. And then I have the sort of the legal and the data protection, a bit of the operational sort of background. So we each have our own sort of defined role, if you like, but obviously there is so much more to do on a small business. And luckily, over the past 4 years, we've worked there are certain tasks that suit our working methods better than others. And the dynamic's really interesting. We'll bring different things to the table. And we certainly approach tasks in a completely different way. So I think what's been key for us is understanding and acknowledging that the way I thought something would work isn't necessarily the way it's going to work, because Dan and James can come up with a better idea. And that's, you know, there's never been a time where anybody sort of stuck to their guns and said it has to be done this way. We've all kind of compromised and actually worked out that this joint way of thinking is actually better than
individual. Are you all based together? Kind of, does James live in the same area, or is it a bit further away from where you're, where the office is and where you're based?
So he's currently living, well, he's just spent the winter in South Africa. Last year, he spent the year in Guernsey. And subject to the fog clearing, he's meant to be landing in Guernsey this afternoon. So he'll come and stay with us for a couple of days. But he's, he's sort of more of a digital nomad. Dan and I, Dan currently is based in the kitchen. I'm in the office. And then, we have the shared working space that we use.
And I guess as far as challenges associated with having kind of three kind of almost semi individual kind of leaders in a way, I think you have to be quite entrepreneurial to sort of take this dive and the venture you've gone on. Any kind of challenges that I'm sure there have been, I know there has been in my business, but any kind of immediate challenges that sort of that spring to mind so far?
Probably the breadth of the tasks that we all have to undertake. Because from one minute, so we all kind of try and work jointly on strategy, for example, and then the next minute you're paying the milk bill. And so is that breadth of keeping on top of everything that is needed to run sort of any business, but let alone something which is kind of a SaaS-based, innovative, entrepreneurial model. I think there is a different dynamic, the fact that Dan and I are married. We had worked together before on the yachts where he was bosun and I was the deck stew. So this was 20 odd years ago, we knew we could work together. But in that sort of intervening time since we've worked together, I've gone off and had a sort of a successful legal career. He's been successful in his career of sort of crew management and compliance. And those two things are very, very different. So he works in a very different way to I do. And we've both had to learn that just because we do it one way doesn't mean that that's the best way. And there's been a massive amount of compromise. We've also learned that we shouldn't spend all day together in the office, because come 5 o'clock, there's pretty much nothing to talk about. So that's why we try and have sort of one person goes into the office in town each day. But I'd say that was probably it hasn't been tricky, because there's nothing that's actually been kind of fatally flawed in the way that we've worked together. And actually, I think it's made us all stronger as a founding team, that we've just treated each other with absolute ultimate and mutual respect.
And have you considered, or have you already started to kind of outsource or any of those kind of more day-to-day sort of admin-focused duties of running the business, payroll, that type of thing, or content, anything in particular you thought about outsourcing, or is it still in-house at the moment?
So we've outsourced some sort of software consultancy just to give James that support, because it's a really sort of architecturally complex thing that he's built. And so giving him somebody to sort of bounce ideas off. And we've been lucky enough that we found a chap in Guernsey who's got an incredible amount of experience with some of the really large Silicon Valley companies, and databases are absolutely his thing. So we've had support on that side. In terms of outsourcing sort of more day-to-day functions, we haven't yet, because sometimes it's a lot of small tasks to be done that actually it's quicker to do yourself sometimes. We're lucky enough to have another sort of a customer onboarding assistant that helps us on our obviously customer onboarding stuff, and she's absolutely brilliant, happily does some of the bookkeeping and things. But really, we do most of it ourselves, and partly because what we're bringing to the industry is pretty unique and novel. It's actually really important that the kind of the social media and the marketing voices comes from us. So that's actually been, and actually we've learned a lot more about how to communicate with our ultimate customers by having to write the articles and write the social media posts.
Yeah, I've done the same. I've dabbled in the past of using things like AI and ChatGPT, that type of thing, for content. And I think it's very obvious when it is written, and it can be very, very powerful at certain times. Like, for example, trying to think of show notes to write up, they can help kind of make things, jazz things up and stuff. They can be really, really, really useful. But for me, we have a lady two ladies in the Philippines that help on with our kind of executive search, like market mapping for recruitment projects and things. And I also have a full like payroll function and company that deals with our IT system. So it's been really helpful for us. So yeah, okay, cool. And I guess I'm imagining you're going to mention something kind of outdoorsy, but I always like to ask people that come on about their kind of hobbies and interests. But anything that comes to mind that you'd like to share?
Well, funny to say that. So obviously living on an island, we're blessed to have the sea around us. So we spend a fair amount of time in it, on it, near it. So we're lucky enough to have sort of a pretty vibrant outdoor lifestyle, subject to obviously the British weather, which has been fairly long and wet, windy winter. Wow. So luckily I also enjoy cooking. I dabble in a bit of yoga, a little bit of sea swimming, various bits of us. We've also got an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, so they keep us pretty much on our toes. So that's the outside of work. But they're probably at the point where they don't want to hear the word certificate ever again.
No, I bet, yeah. Yeah, interesting. Do you think they'll go on, do any kind of thing on board vessels at all? Any crewing? Would that interest them?
So our daughter does a lot of dinghy sailing, absolutely loves it. She was also an avid climber. And so whenever I see a photo or a video on Instagram of crew climbing the rigging, basically on these massive great sailing yachts, she thinks that is probably the best job you can ever have. Combining the sailing and the climbing. But I do actually think that the maritime industry is a really great industry to get into, because you can travel the world as long as you're happy to kind of spend that sort of time away from sort of home and whatever. Being able to travel the world, live in different cultures, I think it's an absolutely incredible thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. As you said, meet all different types of people. I think, as you say, there is a little bit of an isolation element to it, depending on your role and the type of voyages you're doing, that type of thing. But I think it's an interesting an industry that's kind of pulled me back, and I've been in it again for the last 10, 12 years or so. So it's, it's really, really interesting to hear your story and also learn more about credentials. So what's the best way for our audience or anyone that kind of wants to learn a bit more about yourself and the company to reach out to you?
So I spend a significant amount of time on LinkedIn, and I'm always happy to connect on there. It's probably the best place to find sort of the product releases and sort of bits and bobs that we're up to. Our contact details are also on our website, which is credentials.com. Always happy to correspond with anybody, because I was having a really good conversation yesterday with another chap who does something very specific within the maritime industry, and it's sort of the crew changes and crew planning side, big, really clever piece of software. And the more you talk to people that are in similar situations, so might be doing something totally unrelated, but it's what we call like a microservice. It's just fascinating to talk about how people actually can work together and how our kind of voice as a group of younger businesses is actually a lot stronger, even though we're not doing sort of identical things, and actually how much we do that can complement other businesses. So always happy to speak to anybody in that sort of circumstance, particularly and crew as well. So even just through LinkedIn, I got introduced to somebody who thinks what we're doing is absolutely brilliant, wants to get involved, just promoting us down in sort of the industries that he works in. And it's just this network of interesting and sort of people that really understand what we're doing and kind of get why it's exciting and get why it's different.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much again. Really appreciate your time. And I'm sure our listeners found this really, really valuable. So thanks a lot for tuning in, and we'll catch up again soon, Ellen.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.